Our scripture lesson comes to us this day from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning with verse 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue our sermon series, It's Your Move. It began the Sunday after Easter as we explored the words of Jesus, where he said, As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Last week, Pastor Jen spoke about being moved to prayer, for Jesus grounded his ministry and his life in prayer to God, and so we must also as well. Today, we speak of being moved to know our story. And I reflect on this importance as I consider what it is that Jesus did his very first day, Resurrection Day. He taught Scripture. Consider the road to Emmaus. As he walked along with the disciples, some of the disciples there were so disheartened and downtrodden because their Messiah, their hope, had been killed. And Jesus walks alongside them as a stranger. They're uncertain who he is, but strangely, he seems to be the one person in Jerusalem who doesn't know about these things. But then it says Jesus began to open up the scriptures to them. And starting with the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he began to share with them how these things pointed to him. And it says that the disciples, their hearts were literally burning inside of them with anticipation and hope. And as they arrived at their destination, they invited the stranger in to have a meal with them. And when he took the bread and he broke it, it says their eyes were opened and they could see him now. They understood. And then later on that evening, Jesus again was with the disciples and he was teaching them again the story. This time in Luke, it's now not the story leading up to Jesus, but now that he has been crucified and raised from the dead, it is now the story of where all of this is going and how the disciples are a part of this story to go out and share the good news of what God has done in the Messiah. The story becomes so important. It's said that narrative, story, provides one of the fundamental ways of human knowing. We know the world around us, we know ourselves and how we relate to others through the stories we tell. It's interesting, I've been married into a family. My wife's family, they love to tell stories. We'd gather together and I'd hear all sorts of stories of things that have happened, and if you wait long enough, you can hear the same stories again. But they have great stories, and what I've learned is it matters so much where you are in the story. If you're in the middle of uncertainty, that's one way of telling the story. But there are many times you may have found in your own life where what has happened years ago. And while it may have been uncertain then, we can look back at now with a bit of humor. It matters where we are in the story as it unfolds. I remember when I graduated from seminary, my mom, who is an artist, she had spent hours putting together, unaware to me, a scrapbook of my life. And so, as a graduation present, I received this scrapbook of all these pictures and things that I remember now, but I had forgotten about. And I began to relearn and remember the story of how I had gotten to where I was then. As we think about the story of our lives as Christians, the story that God has invited us into to be a part of, we begin to understand what it is that God is calling us to do. We begin with the very beginning of Scripture, where God, it said, created the world. When we look out at the world, it's not just a bunch of physical matter. It is God's creation. And it changes the way we see it, the way we understand it. In Genesis chapter 1, it is said that we are made in the image of God. And God gives us dominion over the animals and over the land, and so we are called to image the care of the Creator to the world around us. Of course, as we move into Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, things don't go so well. Sin breaks in. It breaks our relationship with God. And of course, as the chapters unfold, so does the story of creation as things seem to continue to fall apart. And finally, we end up with Genesis 11, where things seem to be just going wrong. And we wonder what it is that God is going to do about all this. And then in Genesis 12, he calls Abraham. And he makes this amazing promise to Abraham, because at that point, Abraham had no children. And he says to you, your descendants will number the stars of heaven. And not only that, but through your descendants, I will bless the nations. And so we turn the pages of Scripture and we see how the story begins to unfold. These descendants of Abraham, eventually from famine, they move into the land of Egypt, and eventually a Pharaoh forgets who they are and enslaves them. And then God, with a mighty right hand, redeems them out of slavery in Egypt. In the Old Testament, the Exodus is one of the prime models of what it means for God to be Redeemer. It is there in the Exodus that we see God's faithfulness, God's justice, and God's love powerfully come together. And of course, the story doesn't end there, as they've been redeemed out of Egypt. So they make it to Mount Sinai, where they receive the covenant and the law. And the point of the law is to help shape and form them into a people that can share God's light and God's love in the world. God hasn't forgotten his promise to Abraham. He's in the middle of unpacking this whole promise. Of course, as we continue along throughout the Old Testament, we see they entered into the land, and we see the story of the judges and the kings, and we begin to see how all of it starts to fall apart. The Apostle Paul himself, looking back over the story of Scripture, says it well. He says, the law itself revealed sin among the people Israel. It turns out they were no different than the nations around them. They themselves needed redemption like everybody else. What was God to do? And the prophets would stand up and they would say, God is faithful, for God will indeed bless the nations through Israel, but how is God to do this? And of course, we move then into the New Testament, where we read about the one who was faithful when Israel was rebellious. We read about the one who embodied and was obedient when Israel was disobedient, because he was the Messiah. And he embodied everything Israel was called to do and to be. He was them in the flesh, the Messiah Jesus. And because of his work, everything changed. God's plan of redemption gets back on track. The Apostle Paul finds ways of explaining this to the early Christians, trying to help them understand how who they are and what they're called to be and do is actually part of this much greater story of God's plan. We find this, for example, in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 3. And we can see some of this up on the screen here. As he's writing to the Galatians, helping them understand, he writes, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you. And then in verse 14, he continues, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Notice how God has kept the promise. Everything Israel was called to be and do has now been embodied in Christ himself. And he is the faithful and obedient one, and through him now the blessing that God desired to give to the nations is now moving out into the world. And so Gentiles, like many of us, can now be grafted in as wild olive plants grafted into the original branch. God's people is expanding and expanding. And so what that means is that we are called to be a people to do what God has originally called us for, to be a blessing to the nations. Sometimes when people think about mission ends up being for the church maybe an afterthought or an appendix or a footnote down at the bottom. But in reality, to be a blessing to the nations is part and parcel to why God has called us here. It's part of who we are, who we are called to be. And so we have this great call that we are called to live out each and every day. And of course, we know that the story we're a part of isn't over. It doesn't just end here. The story keeps going, for just as Jesus came, so he will come again. And this is one of the great moments of hope that we live for each and every day, that the promise of God that Jesus will return. One of my favorite authors was telling the story about his children who are adults now, and apparently they felt they were old enough to finally admit to their parents something that they did when they were growing up. They had a game they played called Mommy's Coming. And when Dad was out at work and Mom was out in the garden, the kids would say, let's play Mommy's Coming. And they would go into the living room and they would do everything they knew they were not supposed to do. They would get on the couch and they would just bounce and fly up in the air, and they would take the cushions off and they would throw the cushions at one another. And then somewhere in the midst of all of that, someone would call out, Mommy's coming. And of course, they would try to find a seat as fast as possible and look like they're doing nothing at all. And the last person to find a seat was out. And that's how the game went. And of course, they admitted that, you know, the game was fun. There was always joy in yelling, Mommy's coming, but it was always tinged with fear. What happens when Mom shows up and you're mid-air? But as we think about the scriptures, the story we're a part of, the scriptures themselves cry out. Psalm 96 says that all of creation is joining this ode of joy that God is coming, the Creator is coming. And we live in the great hope of redemption, where the faithfulness of God, the justice of God, the love of God is revealed so powerfully. And of course, the hope in this whole story is we know how it ends. Revelation 21 is so powerful in that imagery, that God will be with his people. They will be his people. We will be his people. And he will be our God. And death and mourning and pain will be no more. And just how it is that when we are gathered with family and we're telling stories, years after something happened, and we can now find humor or joy in them. So we now know for certain where this story is headed. And we can see our whole life and everything now in fresh light. This past Friday, we had a celebration of life right here in the sanctuary. A time of mourning and grief for someone we love is gone, but also a time truly of celebration, for we know where they're at. We have the assurance that they are with the Lord, and we will see them again one day. It is that great hope. It's where the story is ending, that we can see where we are and what we are doing now in a whole new way. May we see who we are as Christians and as a church in the light that God has called us to see it. That he has called us here truly to shine his light in the world. that the world may see something it does not yet know. The true joy of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. The joy of the life God has called us to live even now. The joy that He is with us and will never leave us. This is what God has called us to do and to be, a people of the good news. And so it's your move to live into that story and to make it your own. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this deep blessing of your light and your love poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit, that the love of Christ and His salvation can be ours. And we need not try to earn it, but we accept it as gift, trusting faithfully in you. Lord, we thank you for this gift. We thank you for this story that teaches us the truth of who you are and who we are. Lord, help us make this story ours anew this day. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.